The Potter's House, written by Rosie Thomas and read by Rula Lenska.
It was 7 minutes after one in the morning, and I was sitting on the stone jetty in front of my hotel. I could feel the tightness of dried salt water on my skin and taste the mineral tang of sea urchins. I must have been smiling because I was thinking about the day and how happy I had been. The muscles of my face held the print of that smile, after everything else had disintegrated. First, there was a moment when the atmosphere changed. The still night came alive with menace. For a split second, the lights along the beach wall flickered and danced, and I felt a wind in my face blowing off the darkened town and out to sea. Then there was a sound like a sigh, and the earth shifted. It shuddered and jolted, then fell into nowhere and left me suspended in the heavy air. In a flash of hard light, as white as sheet lightning, I was watching my hotel tilt to one side, slowly, slowly, and the balconies slipping off the face of it, forming winged shapes with feathered edges that sank and compressed into illogical layers. This seemed to happen in total silence. Next came a hideous noise. It was a grinding of rock and splintering of stone as flimsy structures toppled and there was the sucking of water in it as the sea was swallowed by opening jaws. The white brilliance was extinguished by utter darkness and noise by more noise as dense as metal. The earth came back again, rising up to hit me as I fell on my face. The memory of the smile was punched away as I began to scream. Under my chest and hips, the jetty rippled. Waves smashed and broke over my body as I clung to my bed of rock. I don't know how long it went on. It felt like hours, but it may only have been a single minute. Each second was a vortex of pounding noise and shuddering earth. I could hear my own screams, a tiny, thin thread of sound lost in the roaring. At last, after the immeasurable time, the earth's rearing subsided into defeated shivers. Diminishing shocks transmitted themselves upwards through my body as pebbles and sand rained down around me. Then finally there was stillness and a new, terrible silence. I raised my head and opened my eyes. The jetty no longer existed. I was lying in a heap of rubble, and I had to summon all the strength of terror to drag myself from under the debris. Slowly, I lifted myself onto all fours, shaking my head like a sick dog. An earthquake. I saw the word rather than thinking it. I was in an earthquake. Chapter 1. The first time I saw the woman who later ran off with my husband, she was giving directions to two removals men. They were struggling to lift a sofa round an awkward bend in the communal stairs, and I was waiting to pass. There were two flats per floor in Dunolly Mansions, and this was evidently the new owner of the one directly above ours. Old widowed Mrs. Bobinski had lived up there for 20 years in a fog of simmering soup fumes and mothballs, and then she died in hospital after a very brief illness, and her heirs put the flat up for sale. It was on the market for months, partly because mansion flats like ours were no longer fashionable, if they ever had been, but mostly because the two nephews were asking too much money for it. I had heard from the Frasers on the top floor that the place was finally sold, but no one had any idea who our new neighbour would be. "Some nice, unremarkable couple just like us," Graham Fraser cheerfully assumed. "And us," I added, more thoughtfully. I stood to one side to let the woman and her puffing retinue pass by. She was walking upstairs backwards and would have collided with me if I hadn't put out my hand to steer her away. She wheeled round at once. "Oh, God, sorry. Can't even look where I'm going. Hang on a sec." The last words were called down to the two young men. The one on the lower end hitched his shoulder under the padded arm and stared up in sweaty disbelief.